Hello and welcome to Out of Office. In 1997, Akbar Al-Bakar became the CEO of a small private carrier called Qatar Airways. Today, it's a leading global airline. According to airlineratings.com, it's the number one airline this year, and Qatar's Hamad International Airport is the world's best in 2021, according to Skytrax, outdoing Singapore's Changi Airport, which held the top spot for 8 years. My guest today is in charge of both.
I'm very proud that an airline in a small country like Qatar, with only 3 million inhabitants, is a leader in the world in aviation, both on the ground and in the air.
I asked the group CEO of Qatar Airways, what's made it so successful?
Our care and hospitality to our passengers, which makes us head and shoulders above everybody. Most of the CEOs of the airlines think that, you know, having good airplanes, good product, big fleet is the asset of the company. But actually, no. You, our passenger, is our asset.
And behind that dedication to customer service is discipline. It's in his blood. Sent off to boarding school at the age of 4. Yes, 4, where there were no cuddles, no toys. These are his words. But it made him who he is. And it makes Qatar Airways what it is today.
Watch, observe other crew when they enter the terminal to go to their flight. And watch QR crew. Just to give you one very simple example of discipline. They're all meticulously dressed. They have all the same luggage. They all walk in a very disciplined manner. The pilots are in full uniform with no jacket buttons open. Nobody chewing chewing gum. Nobody speaking on mobile phone. Nobody smoking in uniform.
Would you notice this if you were walking through an airport? Would you notice if one of your staff was chewing gum?
Yes.
You have a real attention for detail.
And we have auditors that audit them anonymously.
Is your staff terrified of you?
No. They respect me.
In this freewheeling chat with Akbar Al-Bakar, he was his usual frank self, a personality trait he's come to be known for.
I can't change myself. It's always better to be black and white, so people know where you come from. People know how they can deal with you. People know what to expect from you. I don't care about PR. I care about my airline and my country. I will always be outspoken because I cannot bullshit anybody. If something is wrong, I will say it is wrong. If it is right, it is right to me.
So on that note, here it is, Out of Office with His Excellency Akbar Al-Bakar. I want to begin by saying congratulations. Skytrax has declared Hamad International Airport, your airport, the best airport in the world. Airlineratings.com has declared Qatar Airways the number one airline in the world. I want to ask you, back in 1997, when you took over what was then a small regional airline, was this the vision you had for Qatar Airways?
Malika, frankly speaking, you know, I was suddenly one morning thrown in the deep end of the ocean. I started from an airline which was rated zero. And it was my duty and my mandate to make it the best airline in the world. What you see today is what was expected out of me. What was important is that I envisaged at that time that we will have a 35 aircraft fleet and a 35 destination network. I said that simply because in those days, when I took over the company, Gulf Air was the national carrier. Qatar Airways was a fully privately owned airline. So we did not have so much traffic rights that we could expand within because Gulf Air was using most of the traffic rights. So I stayed at that numbers until such a time that my country saw what we delivered, the product, the brand, the standards of in-flight service very early in time to surpass what was being given by our peer group, which I meant Gulf Air and Emirates. And once we withdrew from Gulf Air, this gives me a carte blanche to expand because I had all the traffic rights. The government became a shareholder of the airline after they saw what we can deliver, having an airline of our own. And the growth of Qatar Airways started from there.
What do you think is the one decision you made that really had the biggest impact, that made the biggest difference and made Qatar Airways what it is today?
The decision was to make a product that would be difficult for anybody to match.
What are you proudest of when it comes to your airline?
I'm very proud that an airline in a small country like Qatar, with only 3 million inhabitants, is a leader in the world in aviation, both on the ground and in the air.
It is. I mean, it's an incredible moment, of course. What do you think your airline does best? Is it something that other airlines can't replicate? Is it in-flight service? Or what is it that you think is really your crowning glory?
Our care and hospitality to our passengers, which makes us head and shoulders above everybody. Every single employee in this company is focused on customer service, be it on the ground or be it in the air, because customer is the asset of the airline. Most of the CEOs of the airlines think that, you know, having good airplanes, good product, big fleet is the asset of the company. But actually, no. You, our passenger, is our asset. And this is what we completely keep on pumping into the minds of our employees, our staff, that customer is where we should always focus and make sure that we go an extra mile to give them the product, the attention, the hospitality, the care that they pay to travel on Qatar Airways. And this is what is making us a leader in our industry. Everybody's accountable. Even me, I'm accountable. I have to comply as the boss of the company, according to the rules and regulations and requirements of an airline. And this doesn't happen because a lot of airlines think, in the airlines, that the CEO thinks he is, you know, God, that he's above everybody, that everybody have to pay him the utmost attention. That should not be the case. We need to give attention to our passengers and not to individuals that hold senior positions in the company, which happens in many other airlines. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is that here in QR, everybody has rules to follow. We are very strict in governance. And the only concentration of our attention should be to our passengers.
This last year has been incredibly tough for the aviation industry, right? As a leader, what reserves did you have to draw upon internally to help navigate your company through this crisis? This must have been really challenging for you as a business leader.
Frankly speaking, I didn't have to call upon any reserve. In QR, we always have a plan B to our business. And the plan B was to continue operating, to reach out to stranded people who were disconnected from their loved ones, from their families, from their businesses, from their livelihood, because suddenly every single airline grounded, canceled flights, froze their operation. They forgot that there are still people around. There are still people that relying on them to take them home. They all need to get to their loved ones. The mariners that are stranded on ships that now cannot anymore dock, or if they dock, they cannot get off. There were sick people that needed to get to hospitals abroad, away from their country for specialized treatments. So we had to consider all this. And on day one, we decided that Hamad International will not close and Qatar Airways will not be grounded. Unfortunately, due to sudden regulations from regulators and governments, we had to reduce our network. But we did carry over 3 million passengers on relief flights, charters. But we continued a network shrinking from 180 destinations to 30 destinations, where we saw there was a passenger flow, and we continued to operate. And today, we are back to over 140 destinations within a year. So what we did showed that the airline is very resilient, very flexible, and most importantly, that we will not let people down.
You also said that one of the darkest days or the darkest periods for you was when you had to announce certain job cuts. That's not something you wanted to do if you could avoid it. Tell us about that. How difficult was that for you personally?
Like you just repeated, it was really very difficult to me because the airline was built not by me alone. These were the soldiers. These are the people that brought the reputation Qatar Airways has today. They are the people that worked hard to grow the company, did sacrifices. And then for me to tell them that, you know, today we cannot afford you. But one thing I did, when we were letting them go, we let them go with dignity and pride, with compassion. And I had told them that once we start ramping up, we will first give them the opportunity to join. And this is exactly what we are doing. We have started bringing our cabin crew back. We have started to bring management people back. We have started, anyway, we didn't get rid of a lot of management people anyway in the first place. We brought a lot of pilots back and we are continuing to do so. I am delivering on the promise I gave. And this is, again, a quality a CEO should have. When they give an undertaking, they should live up to it. Today, we are going to start ramping up with our cabin crew numbers. We'll be recruiting nearly 4,000 cabin crew. We'll be recruiting more than 700 pilots, and we will be recruiting equal number of ground staff.
Now, you called your team soldiers. People who know you, who are close to you, say what really defines you is that you genuinely treat your employees as part of one big family. I've heard anecdotes that you go down and you eat with members of the team, irrespective of the rank that they hold within the company. You're supposed to be one of the people. This idea of creating a family environment within your company, where does that come from? Is it because you yourself come from a close-knit family?
Yes, but it comes more from my education, the discipline that I received in my boarding school. The oneness that we felt with all the students that were away from families, away from their loved ones, living together. So you get used to, because regardless how affluent your family is, regardless how rich they are, how influential they are, when you are in an environment where everybody is treated equal, regardless who you are, gets into your DNA. And this is where the discipline and the feel for people that are equal comes from. In QR, nobody is above the other. Everybody is equal, and this is why we treat them as a family. And we are always there for them in their dark days, when they are in financial trouble, when they have a sickness that needs specialized treatment, when they have family calamities, where they need assistance. We are always there in this airline. We will never let our staff down. Yes, we are very thorough getting people to work, to follow the discipline, to follow the governance of the company. There is no let up in that. But when it comes to compassion and need, we in Qatar Airways are always there for our staff.
You went to a boarding school in Panchgani in India, is that right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about the boarding school and how come India? How come Panchgani?
First and foremost, I hated it at that time because I was away. I was very young. I was only 4 years old. I was away from my family. It's a time when you need love of your parents, cuddle from them. You need, you know, to play with toys, and all this was not available. It was a school from...
I want to check something. Did you say you went at the age of 4?
Yes.
You were tiny.
Yes, I was. But let me come back to you. This staying away from the family, frankly, made me what I am. I'm very close to my parents. We are 5 brothers and sisters, but I am the closest to my parents. Even though I went through such a difficult childhood being away from them, but the discipline and the kind of education I got changed me. And though I hated it at that time, I really miss it. I really appreciate what my parents did for me. Because without that education, I wouldn't be where I am today. Without that kind of training, without that kind of dedication to and commitment to my education from me, because I was in a boarding school, I wouldn't have reached what I have today. My parents could give me everything I want, but then it would have spoiled me. And why I went to India? Because my dad was a merchant. He was dealing with a lot of Indian businessmen. And they recommended to my dad that you should send your children to India to go to a boarding school. And so it was me first. And then my 2 other brothers, younger than me, also came there. But they didn't adapt. They were always homesick. They were not delivering what was expected in the studies. So then my parents took them back, but I stayed.
Wow. I'm actually blown away that, A, you went at the age of 4. I can't imagine how tough that must have been. How do you think that discipline that the boarding school in Panchgani instilled in you, how has that influenced some of the decisions you've taken as a CEO?
The discipline that we were exposed to gets into you, and you want the same thing from others. And this is why in QR, just go to an airport where we operate and watch, observe other crew when they enter the terminal to go to their flight, and watch QR crew. Just to give you one very simple example of discipline. They're all meticulously dressed. They all have the same makeup. They have all the same luggage. They all walk in a very disciplined manner. The pilots are in full uniform with no jacket buttons open, nobody chewing gum, nobody speaking on mobile phone, nobody smoking in uniform. You see, all this starts from the school of what I had to do. And this is in our manuals, how people have to behave, how people have to dress up. Everything is part and parcel of QR culture.
Would you notice this if you were walking through an airport? Would you notice if one of your staff was chewing gum?
Yes.
You have a real attention for detail.
And we have auditors that audit them anonymously.
Is your staff terrified of you?
No. They respect me. People who don't know me or people who are new till they get into the culture of the company, yes. Well, you know, sometimes you have a personality that is really very intimidating to people. But people who know me, they're not afraid. They know that I'm fair. They know that as long as you follow the company regulations, you are perfect, you're fine. But sometimes it is good when people are a bit terrified from it, don't you?
You do have a big reputation and a big personality. And one of the personality traits that's been written about in the past is that you're outspoken, and sometimes being outspoken has got you into a little bit of trouble with PR teams. Is that just who you are, or do you now have to keep telling yourself, oh, maybe I have to be a little bit more guarded?
No, I can't change myself. It's always better to be black and white, so people know where you come from. People know how they can deal with you. People know what to expect from you. I don't care about PR. I care about my airline and my country. I will always be outspoken because I cannot bullshit anybody. If something is wrong, I will say it is wrong. If it is white, it is white to me. If it is black, it is black to me. I don't believe in gray color, though my airline is colored gray, because that is the best color that matches the burgundy, which is the national color of my country. But when you come to yourself, you always have to stand up and be counted. You should not get intimidated by anyone. At the same time, you should not try to whitewash something that is not white. You need people to know. This is why when people deal with me, they know that it is business. It's not blah, 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 and, you know, nice talk. And people have to be to the point with me because I don't have too much time to waste. I'm not telling you this because of the interview. So when I'm working, my time is very precious.
When you're not working, what do you enjoy doing?
Until recently, I used to go biking, motorbike. But unfortunately, it's become a bit dangerous in my country because of such a huge growth in traffic. I have been warned by authorities that they would not like me go biking.
So no biking, but even more exciting or perhaps dangerous?
Now, the most exciting thing for me, Malika, is to go around my airline, inspect my aeroplanes, go to the airport, which I'm also the CEO. This is why my title is Group Chief Executive. So I have a lot of interesting things, which is also my hobby, to go and use my time.
But that's still work-related. Walking through your airport, that's still work.
For me, that is the best thing I can do, is to work and deliver what is expected out of me from my country and my ruler.
I believe you also have a pilot's license.
Yes.
When's the last time you flew?
You know, the pilot license I have is a PPL. I'm not a commercial pilot. I only used to fly propeller aircraft. And the reason I became a pilot, not because I was in Qatar Airways, I became pilot much before I was in Qatar Airways, as I was in the regulatory body, the civil aviation, I thought that it is nice for me to go and learn to fly. So then I can understand the other side of my job, the operational side. Though I was head of finance and administration at the regulator, but I was very keen to learn more. Mm-hmm. And that became also very useful, me coming into the airline. So now my pilots or my operational people or my technical people cannot give me rubbish talk.
Do you miss that? Do you miss flying?
I do. I have the opportunity to go and do flying on the simulator that we have. We have all types of simulators, but unfortunately, I don't have time. Flying a propeller aeroplane with an analog cockpit is more fun than going and, you know, sitting in front of computers.
Yes. I want to quickly go back to something you talked about, leadership. And you said, people respect me. They're not terrified of me, but people respect me. How does a leader earn respect?
A leader will earn respect is when that leader makes themselves equal to their employees. When the leader is following the regulations he's imposing on the employees. A leader that is working as hard as he expects his employees to work. All these are factors that a leader needs in order to gain respect, and giving them the opportunity and the kind of reputation that company is making, which in other places they may not get. I'll give you an example. When a Qatar Airways employee leaves the organization, puts in their CV that they are part of Qatar Airways, or they were employees of Qatar Airways, they have 8 out of 10 chance of getting a job, again, in an aviation industry, than if you didn't put it. Because everybody in the industry knows how Qatar Airways develops the product. When I say product, the human resources product. And you can see that a lot of airlines approach our staff to go to work for them.
They get poached. Well, I guess people are trying to poach them, right?
Yeah, but you know, people only get poached are people that are looking for financial benefit. But not everybody looks at financial benefit. They look at joy of working in that company. Because every day there is something new. Every day there is something invented. Every day there is something that has taken or catapulted the company to new heights. And that is what people are after who are professional.
You've been CEO from 1997. You're one of the longest serving CEOs of an airline in the world. What do you think, what part of Qatar Airways reflects you? I mean, this is such a long time that the airline is pretty much you.
Malika, Qatar Airways is Qatar. It's not Akbar Albakr. Regardless what people think, what they say, I'm here to serve my country. And every accolade, every recognition we receive is for my country. It's not for me. I'm just a small part of Qatar Inc.
You're very patriotic.
Well, every Qatari has to be patriotic because it's my country.
Your airline is number one. Your airport is number one. What's your next goal?
It's always easy to get to the peak. It's very difficult to stay at the peak. My job is to make sure we stay there. And I will do everything in my power to deliver that.
Does that sometimes feel intimidating? Surely that's a lot of pressure.
I think in 23 years being at the helm of this airline, pressure has become part of me. I'm like a pressure cooker now, so it's okay.
Just on that note, very quickly, I want to ask you, surely, I mean, yes, you've had a number of setbacks, both in the airline industry, in your airline, in Qatar. We had the blockage, you've had the pandemic. How do you deal with setbacks?
I don't see it as a setback. I just see it as a challenge. And we have weathered all those challenges. We weathered epidemics. We are now weathered pandemics better than anybody else, both as on operational and on the performance side, financial side, results of the company, better than anybody else. And when it comes to the blockade, we won and we came out stronger than anybody ever thought. And when I say we came out stronger, it's not as Qatar Airways. We came out stronger as a country. Qatar Airways is part of the country. So you can see that these kind of pressures only makes us more resilient, makes us learn how to get over those pressures. And like I told you in the early part of this interview, that in QR, we always have a plan B. And we will always have a plan B, even have a plan C if the plan B failed. And this is why we are so resilient as an airline.
And my last question is, you just talked about the importance of constantly learning, right? What is the biggest learning from the pandemic?
The biggest learning from pandemic is to continue what you do against all odds, against all the challenges, against all downside. You should always be buoyant. You should always be very consistent. You should never give up in front of any difficulty, because every difficulty also generates opportunities in those difficult times. And a good leader will always see a small stream of light in darkness. And this is what we did.
A small stream of light and darkness. I love that. And that's a nice optimistic note to end on. So thank you so much for your time. And I really appreciate you joining me on Out of Office.
Thank you, Malika. Thank you.
That was His Excellency Akbar Albakr, Group CEO of Qatar Airways on Out of Office. I think you'll agree he has quite a story, both personally and professionally. I hope you enjoyed our chat. You can find other episodes of Out of Office on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Bloomberg Terminal, and Bloomberg.com. This episode was produced by Yajo Sun and Laura Carlson. I'm Malika Kapoor. I hope you stay well. And as always, thank you for listening.